Module 5, Newtonian World and Astrophysics, Study Guide Podcast, A-Level Physics, Exam-Focused Episode. Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've joined me for today's episode because we are diving into one of the most awe-inspiring modules in A-Level Physics, Module 5, Newtonian World and Astrophysics. Whether you're revising for your mocks or gearing up for the real thing, this episode is going to walk you through everything you need to know. From circular motion and gravitational fields, all the way out to stellar evolution and the Big Bang. And yes, we'll be covering the exam technique, the common mistakes, and the mark scheme language that examiners actually want to see. So grab your formula sheet, a pen, and let's get started. This is your 10-minute guide to the Newtonian world and beyond. Let's start with circular motion because it underpins everything else in this module. When an object moves in a circle at constant speed, its velocity is constantly changing. Because velocity is a vector, and the direction keeps changing. That means there must be a net force acting on it. This force always points toward the center of the circle, and we call it the centripetal force. Here's the key equation. F equals mv squared over r, or equivalently, F equals m omega squared r, where omega is the angular velocity in radians per second. Candidates often lose marks by forgetting that centripetal force is not a new type of force. It is the resultant of existing forces, like tension, gravity, or friction, acting toward the center. Examiners will specifically credit explanations that identify what provides the centripetal force in a given scenario. Angular velocity, omega, is related to the period t by the equation omega equals 2 pi over t, and linear speed v equals omega r. These relationships are essential. Make sure you can switch fluently between them. Now, let's move on to gravitational fields. Newton's law of universal gravitation tells us that every mass attracts every other mass. The force between two masses, m and m, separated by distance r, is F equals gmm over r squared. G is the gravitational constant, 6.67 times 10 to the minus 11 newton meters squared per kilogram squared. This is given on your formula sheet, so you don't need to memorize the value, but you absolutely must understand what it means. Gravitational field strengths, G at a distance r from a mass m, is G equals gm over r squared. At the Earth's surface, this gives us approximately 9.81 newtons per kilogram. Notice that G decreases with the square of the distance. This is the inverse square law, and it's a favorite for exam questions. Gravitational potential V is defined as the work done per unit mass to move a small test mass from infinity to that point. The equation is V equals negative gm over r. The negative sign is crucial. It tells us that gravitational potential is always negative because you have to do work to escape a gravitational field. Candidates who omit the negative sign will not receive credit for the definition. The gravitational potential energy of a mass m at distance r is simply E equals mv, which gives E equals negative gmm over r. Now, let's link this to orbital motion. This is where it gets really elegant. For a satellite in circular orbit, the gravitational force provides the centripetal force. So we can write gmm over r squared equals mv squared over r. The mass of the satellite cancels, giving v squared equals gm over r. This is a beautiful result. The orbital speed depends only on the mass of the central body and the orbital radius, not on the satellite's own mass. From this, we can derive Kepler's third law. T squared is proportional to r cubed. More precisely, t squared equals 4 pi squared over gm multiplied by r cubed. This relationship is tested frequently. Candidates are often asked to use a log-log graph to verify it or to calculate the mass of a planet from orbital data. Escape velocity is the minimum speed needed to escape a gravitational field entirely. Setting kinetic energy equal to gravitational potential energy gives V escape equals the square root of 2gm over r. For Earth, this is approximately 11.2 kilometers per second. Now let's move into astrophysics. Stars are classified by their temperature, luminosity, and spectral class. The Hertzsprung-Russell diagram, the HR diagram, plots luminosity against surface temperature, and it is one of the most important tools in astrophysics. The main sequence is a diagonal band where stars spend most of their lives fusing hydrogen. The sun sits comfortably in the middle of the main sequence. When a star like the sun exhausts its hydrogen fuel, it expands into a red giant, then sheds its outer layers to form a planetary nebula, leaving behind a white dwarf. More massive stars follow a more dramatic path. They become red supergiants, then explode as supernovae, leaving behind either a neutron star or, if massive enough, a black hole. Stefan's law tells us the luminosity of a star. L equals 4 pi r squared sigma t to the power 4, where sigma is the Stefan-Boltzmann constant. Wien's displacement law tells us the peak wavelength of a star's emission. Lambda max times t equals a constant, approximately 2.9 times 10 to the minus 3 meters Kelvin. These two laws together allow astronomers to determine a star's temperature and size from its spectrum. Cosmology brings us to the Big Bang and the expanding universe. Hubble's law states that the recession velocity of a galaxy is proportional to its distance. V equals h0d, where h0 is the Hubble constant, approximately 70 kilometers per second per megaparsec. The redshift of light from distant galaxies is direct evidence for this expansion. The age of the universe is approximately 1 over h0, which gives around 14 billion years. Right, let's talk exam technique, because knowing the physics is only half the battle. First, always show you're working. In calculation questions, even if your final answer is wrong, you can still earn method marks. Write down the formula, substitute values with units, and state your final answer clearly with the correct unit. Second, watch your command words. If the question says explain, you must give a reason. Use the word because to link cause and effect. If it says describe, you're giving what happens, not why. If it says calculate, show every step. Third, the most common mistake in gravitational fields is forgetting that R is measured from the center of the mass, not the surface. If a satellite orbits 200 kilometers above Earth's surface and Earth's radius is 6,400 kilometers, then R is 6,600 kilometers, or 6.6 times 10 to the 6 meters. Many candidates use 200 kilometers and lose all the marks. Fourth, in circular motion, never say the centripetal force acts outward. It always acts inward toward the center. The feeling of being pushed outward is a fictitious force in a rotating reference frame. It does not exist in an inertial frame. Fifth, on the HR diagram, remember that temperature increases to the left on the x-axis. This catches candidates out every year. Hot blue stars are on the left, cool red stars are on the right. Sixth, when using Hubble's law, make sure your units are consistent. Convert megaparsecs to meters if you're working in SI units, or keep everything in kilometers and megaparsecs, but never mix them. Okay, time for the quickfire quiz. Cover your notes and try to answer these out loud. 1. State Newton's law of universal gravitation in words. 2. What is the equation for gravitational potential? Don't forget the sign. 3. What does Kepler's third law state? 4. On the HR diagram, where are white dwarfs located? 5. What is the equation for escape velocity? 6. State Wien's displacement law. 7. What provides the centripetal force for a satellite in circular orbit? How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and review that section. Retrieval practice is one of the most powerful revision tools you have. Let's wrap up with the key takeaways. Circular motion requires a centripetal force directed toward the center. It is always the resultant of real forces, never a new force in itself. Newton's law of gravitation gives an inverse square relationship. Double the distance, quarter the force. Gravitational potential is always negative. It takes work to escape a gravitational field. For orbital mechanics, equating gravitational force to centripetal force is your starting point for almost every derivation. The HR diagram is your map of stellar evolution. Know where each type of star sits and how they move as they age. Hubble's law and redshift are the observational evidence for the Big Bang in an expanding universe. And finally, always check your units, always show you're working, and always read the command word carefully. You've got this. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode. Keep going. Every mark counts.